there's a thought that come on our mind this morning, and I hope and pray that I can get it across. And I want each one of you to listen to this. In the 27th chapter of Matthew, this is at the trial of Christ. And in the 19th verse, you'll find where Pilate's wife was speaking. Said, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Now, I want each one of you to underline that just man. Then if you'll go down into the 24th verse, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Underline that just person there again. Then if you'll go into the 26th verse, then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now, this, I've read this many times, and this thought has been on my mind many times, and I think I've preached on it a few times in my life. But, you know, the thing that always puzzled me is what Pilate said. Saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. Then, just two verses later, he sends him out to be scourged and then turned over to be crucified. Well, if any of you knows what was involved in a scourging back then, it was a serious whipping. The blood was cut out of a person. A lot of times the bones even in their back and their ribs was exposed from the whip that went around their body and all of that. And Pilate consented and said, Christ the Son of God, when he said he's a just person, and why would he send me down that door? And he said, I'm innocent of his blood. He was an innocent. He became a partaker. Why? He could have set him free. And he surely didn't have to be for nothing that Christ had done. And yet he said, I'm innocent. Well, the dog come to my mind to us today. What is it that we're doing with this very crime? We say that he was a wonderful Savior. We say that he's a wonderful friend. But how are we really treating him today? What did Christ say to me and you? What are we to do? He said, come and follow me. He's getting one of us today. When we look at our lives, which are we doing? Are we one of those that is doing that, that is persecuting Christ, even in this day and hour? Are we saying word against the very foundation that God has laid down for us to live by? Or are we truly following Christ in his teaching? Here, Pilate, he said, I find no fault in him. He's a just man. He's not worthy to be crucified. But that's what they asked. So Pilate not only turned them over, it would have been bad enough if he'd have turned him over to be crucified. But before that, he had him whipped. Me and you today, we can look at the world and all that they're doing and all that they're saying about Christianity today. And if we go along with it, we're just as Pilate was here and going along with not only the crucifixion, but with the whipping of Christ. You know, here in that, I've thought about that so many times. What was in Pilate's mind that he would turn around and after saying he's a just person, turn around and sentence him to be whipped for nothing that he done. Wasn't it bad enough you're going to send him out to crucify him, but you have to whip him and punish him even before that for absolutely nothing. The water that he washed his hands in was not enough to cleanse him of the blood of Christ. The only way he can be clean of that is to be bathed in that blood. Then you can and we don't have to come before God. By the blood that was shed by dear Christ, we too will stand there guilty on judgment day, giving account of that innocent blood, because we failed to accept Him as our Lord and Savior. If we look at the way Christ was treated, and we think, oh, how awful that anybody would treat the Son of God that way. I wouldn't have done that if I had been there. But if somebody goes talking about a Christian person in a crowd where we're at, and if we just sort of, the old saying goes, tuck tail and run, sort of slip off without defending or standing up for that that's right, then we was one of those that was in the crowd there that crucified Christ. Why? Because we either stand up and own Him or we deny. And you know, a lot of people, they think, oh, why should I say anything? They will just mock me and make fun of me. Christ, they did that to Him. But I'm so thankful He was still willing to go and be crucified. He could have called 10,000 angels and said, Father, they're not worthy. They're not worth it. But He consented unto the death of even the cross for my sin and for yours. So me and you, why should we be ashamed of righteousness today, of the saints of God, of what He laid down for the human family to live by, though it not politically correct anymore for me and you? If our heart cry with God, we can stand up and say that they spiritually correct, and that is sin destroyed hearts and lives. Sin will sin to death, and not care who the world is that hears it. But they'll know that we'll come face to face with a righteous God and give an account. The water in this world will not cleanse us from our sin. It takes the blood that was shed there at Calvary. And you and I, we might think that Pilate was awful for doing this. But if we don't own Christ ourselves, even to the point of bearing persecution for that, then we are denying Him as being our Savior and our Lord. And, you know, we stop and we think of, I guess you'd say, the crowd. So many there calling for Christ's crucifixion. Pilate would have to been strong to stood up against them. And he wasn't. He might have been the leader, but he wasn't strong. You and I, you might say, well, I'm no leader. But you can still stand up and be strong for Christ. You know, look in the Bible. Peter there, he stood at the crucifixion of Christ and denied Him. Three times, just as Christ told him He would. Then he went out and he wept, realizing what he had done, denying the one that he loved so, three times to protect his own self. Peter really got himself right with God, because Christ told him. He said, when thou art converted, you strengthen the brethren. Peter, when he got right with the Lord, he was willing to die for Christ. You and I, unless we're willing to die for Him, we can't live with Him. We must first be willing to die to really know what life is all about. You know, I've heard people say that come to a death experience where the doctor, even some people where the doctor has said they're dead, and yet then they would revive. And people that was in that place, they said, oh, life seemed to be so much sweeter after that. They enjoyed every moment because they realized their life was over, and yet they was given another opportunity. You and I, you know, to come to know God as our Savior, that is being given a new life. And oh, how sweet it is. Much better than life to this body. It's a spiritual life. Be made alive in Christ Jesus. And to know the Spirit of God, that it dwells on the inside of you, and that you can feel it, and that it just bubbles over, is something that is beyond words to describe. You know, I've had the Spirit of God so strong upon me, it literally felt like my chest was going to burst open. But it wasn't a painful feeling. It just felt like you was ready to explode. And there's coming a time when there's a song out about this old body, the bars of bone that holds my soul. You look at a skeleton, the way the ribs are cased around our heart and the major organs of our body to protect them. It looks like bars. And it said, bars of bone that hold my soul. Well, one of these days, this old body is going to burst wide open and set that soul free. Boy, we'll leave this world and go to be where God is in my heart, right with the Lord. And you and I, man, that we've only tasted up here. For moments at a time in good spiritual service. God said you can sit in my presence. For all of eternity, you can breathe the Holy Spirit. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. It'll be pumping through your body. There the trees, the hills, and the mountains, all of the city, filled with the glory of God. And you and I can dwell there. What is there in this world to be ashamed of a man? And shout from the housetop. Let the world see that we have something much better than anything that's here in this life. You know, we listen. And I was seeing in the news homes. Big fancy homes. Homes that's even worth in the millions of dollars that's being foreclosed on. And our economy is not looking good. Oh, for the next number of years, if time stands like that. And what it's going to take to waken people up, to turn their mind and heart to God, I don't know. Most people, instead of remembering that there's a God that supplies, they're angry because our government is not giving us more. And you and I, what the government gives with one hand, believe me, they're taking it with the other one. You might think, I'm really getting something. Wait till you end up going to the grocery store, the gas station, or anywhere where you're buying something, you'll find out I'm paying for it. A little at a time. Wait till you get your tax bill. Wait till you get your next payroll check and you see how much you're taking. You're paying for it. And people don't seem to realize they'll give you $100 to get to take $1,000 from you secretly. And that's what they do. They'll give it to you. You know, I was listening to one person that was looking at all that this is going to cost us, and they said, that the jobs that they say that this is, will create, is they would have to pay the people $250,000 a year for these jobs. Well, you know, there ain't going to be that many jobs created. And yet, we look around and people is expecting the government to pull us out by spending the money that they don't have. And I was listening to it. And what our government is trying to convince and hoping for is that China will keep buying our T-bills and bail us out. Isn't it something? We say we're a God-fearing country. We're a Christian nation. And instead of depending upon God, we're depending upon a heathen nation, one that don't recognize God, to try and bail us out. Now, which one do you think is going to care the most for us? A God that has proven His power and His love, that we have proven we don't want, we've neglected, we've turned our back upon. And then we turn to that that don't believe in God and want it to fail us out. And then we wonder, what's wrong? Why are every move that we make just seem to be digging worse and worse into the ground instead of accomplishing anything? It's because we've not done with God what we should have. And you know, if we don't treat the Son of God better than the people in the Bible, why should we expect God to bless us in ways that they weren't? In the 19th chapter of Matthew, the 21st verse, Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come and follow me." You know, instead of selling or giving to somebody else, people are wanting to lay up all they can for self. And we're not listening to what God said about following Him. We're following man or something else. Instead of putting their faith and trust in God, that we can look at the Scripture. The Bible is full of examples from beginning unto end. Good examples and bad examples for us to follow. And with the good examples, it lets us know what's going to be the good outcome. With the bad examples, it lets us know what's going to be the bad outcome. And, you know, I'm wondering if Pilate's wife, when she said this, she said, "For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." I wonder if she was satisfied when Pilate come home at the end of the day and she found out what he had done. I wonder if she is satisfied. Well, I wonder if God looks down at me and you. I wonder if God is satisfied at the end of the day with how we treated His Son this day. If we stood up and boldly proclaimed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, or are we ashamed of Him? Do we let the world know that we have been born again? And that was done here by Pilate and the Jews, you know, the Jews, they want to look at the Gentiles crucified Christ. The Gentiles want to look at that the Jews crucified Christ. The way God set it up here, everybody had to take blame, didn't it? The Jews was crying for it, but they wasn't allowed to crucify anybody. The Gentiles was the ones that was in charge. They could have said no, but they consented. All of us become guilty. You and I today, what we do with Christ is still the main question in our lives. Are we going to accept Him as our Lord and Savior? Or are we going to say, just as they did, crucify Him? You know, there's not many people in the world today that's so hard that they would openly tell you, if He is alive today, I'd crucify Him. But the decisions they make in their daily life, they're saying the same thing to God. They're rejecting Christ. So if you reject Him, you're saying crucify Him. I don't know. I no longer want that plan of salvation. You're counting it as nothing, the price that God paid. So me and you today, we better make sure that instead of doing it as Pilate did, we do as said there in that 19th chapter. We follow Christ. We listen unto Him and we follow Him. And if we do, then we'll find at the end of our life, we have nothing to bow our head and be ashamed of. Well, we can lift our voice and shout the praises of God. While we get some song to sing, will you come? If there's one here that you feel a need in your life to pray, will you come and talk to God? Because after all, not a one of us knows when our life is going to be over. You know, we could live to be real old, or we could die this very day. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. We've got from almost newborn babies here, I think about a month old is about the youngest one, a little over a month, to me, old. And not a one of us knows when our time's going to come. Because not any of us are promised to live to a certain age. But each and every one of us knows that the death angel can call at any time. If your heart's not right with God, if you've not been following Christ the way that you should, now's the time to do something about it. You know, in what we read to you there, Bible said, by His stripes you're healed. I don't know what was in Pilate's mind as he had Christ whipped. But I thought about it many times when I had to pray and ask God for a healing or something for me or somebody I cared about. The blood that was shed there by those stripes bought that healing. But what was shed there on Calvary bought my forgiveness. Paid the price that I could be forgiven of my sin. That took all that Christ had. Wasn't just a whipping that was sufficient for that. It took all that He had. The last bit of blood and life in that body. But then it didn't end there. On the third day, He rose. And then He sat down to be my intercessor on the right hand of the Father. And that's how I know He raised. Because He talks to me and I can talk to Him. While we sing, will you come? What are you doing with Christ today? Is He truly your Lord and Savior?